Chapter 11. The morning was budding, and I was waiting for warmth. Down the street, a lanky boy was lingering near a stop sign. Head down, he was hunched over like a wind-blown weed. In his right hand was something shiny, a tool? Maybe, or a pen. He was smiling just a bit, as if he told himself a joke. A joke only he, perhaps, understood. All day long, I see people lost in thought, talking to themselves, grinning, frowning. He was nothing out of the ordinary. I was in the midst of a conversation with Bongo, who had just pointed out to me that I was a year older, 216 rings old to be precise. Another sprout day, I said. I still feel like a sapling. You don't look a day over 150, Bongo replied. Best looking tree on the block. I paused for comic effect. Getting up there? Bongo, who was perched on my lowest branch, sighed. A crow sigh is unmistakable, like a groan from a tiny, cranky old man. Tree humor, I explained, just in case Bongo had missed it. Although, of course, she hadn't. Bongo misses nothing. Because, you know, I'm so tall. Really red? Bongo stretched, admiring her lustrous blue-black wings. That's the best you got for me this morning. Maybe you'd appreciate my joke more if you weren't so sensitive about your stature, I teased. Corbins don't give a flying tail feather about height, Bongo said. Smarts, wiles, trickery, cunning. That's what counts in our neck of the woods. Corvids is a fancy name for birds like crows, ravens, jays, and magpies. Bongo says she's too classy for a label as common as crow. A soft wind tickled my branches. Spring, that old rascal was teasing us with the promise of warmer days. The truth is, I said, it doesn't matter what size you are, Bongo. We grow as we must grow, as our seeds decided long ago. Red, way too early in the morning for the wise old tree routine. Bongo gave me a gentle peck. Although you're right, it doesn't matter how tall you are. In a fluttery blur, she sailed to a telephone pole far above my leafy canopy. Not when you can fly, pal. At almost the same moment, Samar and the boy who lived in the greenhouse, Stephen, stepped onto their porches. Both had backpacks. Both looked eager to greet the day. Their eyes met. Stephen nodded, just a flicker, and Samar nodded back. Not a hello exactly, just an acknowledgement. Stephen ran off toward the elementary school down the street, but Samar hesitated. Hello, she called softly. Right on cue, Bongo replied. Hello, as she did every morning, sounded just like Summer. Bongo can also do a passable tuba, an impressive chihuahua, and a fine police siren. Samar looked up at Bongo, grinned, and headed toward school. With that, Bongo let loose a hoarse and gleeful caw and set off to wait for children to arrive at school. She was a regular there. Everyone knew her. She enjoyed annoying the children, and they enjoyed letting her annoy them. Bongo especially liked to untie shoelaces. While the children were busy retying them, she would snatch treats from their lunch bags. Every now and then, she would even make a polite request. She could say, "Chip, please." "No way." And, "You rock," when it served her purposes. Watching Bongo soar, I considered, not for the first time, my rambling roots. What would it be like to fly, to burrow, to swim, to gallop? Delightful, no doubt. Sheer joy. And yet, I wouldn't trade a single rootlet for any of it. It is a great gift indeed to love who you are.